Good morning. It's good to see you all this morning. The sun shining through the windows is always nice, isn't it? I just read the gospel lesson. And in the gospel lesson, Jesus tells us something amazing, doesn't he? He tells us exactly why God does what he does and who he sent to help us. You know, sometimes if you want to have some fun with your mom and dad, ask them to recite for you from memory John 3:16. And I'll bet they can do it. Do any of you know it already? For God so loved the world, remember? What a wonderful verse. Hold that in your heart all your life. This is kind of how it works. Let's say that you did something wrong. Now, we're all sinful people and we do things wrong, but we don't always get in a lot of trouble for it. And sometimes we don't do the things we're supposed to do and we get in trouble for that too. But let's say you really did something bad wrong and you went to jail for the rest of your life. Can you imagine how sad that would be? That wouldn't be any kind of fun at all, would it? To have to live in jail for the rest of your life? That's kind of the way it was when God looks at us, because he has to punish sin. And let's say that I came along then and I said, you know what, instead of you going to jail, because I really like you a lot, I'm going to send my teddy bear in your place. Would that be all right with you? That way you can go home and you don't have to worry about being in jail anymore. You're free. That's exactly what God did for us. He loved us so much that he sent Jesus to take away every one of our sins for all time. And then he gives us that. Jesus rose again. He did it all perfectly. And even better than my teddy bear taking your place, you get to go live with Jesus forever in heaven with him. What a wonderful thing to do. And then, while we're waiting to go home, we get to tell others who Jesus is and what he's done. And we can use John 3:16 to do that. For God so loved the world that he sent his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. Let's pray about that. Dear Jesus, thank you for taking our place, for taking our sins on yourself and being punished in our place. Thank you for giving us your love and your care and opening heaven's door for us so that one day we get to come and live with you forever. Please help us then as we live our lives here to tell others, to share who you are and what you've done, and to bring them along when we come to heaven. We pray these things in your name. Amen.
Please stand if you're able. Grace and peace to you from him who is, who was, and who is to come, Jesus Christ, God's gift to the world. Amen. The Word of God that serves as our sermon reading for today, appointed for the second Sunday of Lent, is recorded for us in the first book of the Bible, the book of Genesis, reading from chapter 12, beginning at verse 1. Listen to how God paints a picture of what a full life looks like. The Bible says this: "The Lord said to Abram, 'Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you.' So Abram went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. He took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, and all the possessions they had accumulated and all the people they had acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there. Abram traveled throughout the land as far as the site of the great tree of Moreh at Shechem. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. The Lord appeared to Abram and said, 'To your offspring I will give this land.' So he built an altar there to the Lord, who had appeared to him. From there he went on toward the hills east of Bethel and pitched his tent, with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. There he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord." This is the word of the Lord. We pray. Lord Jesus, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. Dear brothers and sisters in God's chosen family, who do you know that really has it made Maybe you've walked down the hallway with the reigning lead of the play, the homecoming king or queen, or that employee of the year. Maybe you know you live right down the street from that super mom and super dad who can do it all. And sometimes, don't you just think to yourself, why can't that be me? Maybe know someone who has the drop-dead good looks of a Scarlett Johansson, a Ryan Reynolds. Maybe someone who's the life of the party, like NBC's Jimmy Fallon. Or maybe has the bulging bank account of an Amazon's Jeff Bezos. From the outside looking in, the people I just mentioned, these Hollywood stars, seem like they have it all together. They have a full life, the whole package of health, wealth, and personality. Let me ask you, even if we had everything they do, how does that help us when we die? How does that help us get from this life to the next? The Bible warns us against us living that way. The Bible warns us that says that if we just live for this life, King Solomon summed it up as meaningless, a chasing after the wind. Clearly, caring for our souls is what's most important, because our souls last forever. But isn't that why we've gathered together today? So that the Holy Spirit can fill you and me with more faith, more information, and more inspiration to follow God. But let's not make the classic mistake of begrudging other people when they have something we don't, and we're totally blind to the gifts that God gives us. Instead, let's spend time in God's Word to talk about what God considers a full life. And by the end of the sermon, I pray that whether you could model as a poster king or queen, or poster child, whether your bank account has more than 8 zeros or just 1, you can see yourself the way Scripture sees you, that you and I are included in God's picture of a full life. The Hollywood stars I just mentioned, like Scarlett, Ryan, or Jimmy, they almost seem mythical, don't they? They don't seem real. Oh, sure, streaming video puts them in the palm of our hands on our smartphone, brings them right into our living room. And yet, by their lifestyle, they seem like they live in a galaxy far, far away. Mathematically, I'm never going to live like the standards that they live, and you probably won't either. Maybe that's why God gives us someone real this morning to consider. God brings us up close and personal with a man named Abram. Abram wasn't mythical. He was a living, breathing believer of God who actually existed more than 4,000 years ago near the modern-day country of Iraq. You may know Abram better as Abraham. The reason Abram is so significant is because he was the father of the Jewish nation, the very first one, and he was the direct ancestor of Jesus Christ himself. Abram was a man who experienced real problems and real joys. I guarantee you that when Abram lived on this planet, there were times that he felt like God was holding out on him. God, where are you? Have you ever felt that way? If so, then listen closely to the life of Abraham, and let's take a longer look at God's picture of a full life. When we consider God's picture of a full life, we need to first of all understand that our lives are empty, spiritually empty, without God. Only when we have God in our life are we properly filled. Let's go back to the beginning. Well, the book of beginnings, called Genesis, as our sermon reading begins with the very first verse, we're introduced to Abram this way. The Lord had said to Abram, "Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you." What God was really saying here was this: Abram, I want you to pack up everything you own and move right now. I'm not going to tell you where you're going. I'm not going to tell you how to get there. I just want you to move now. Let me ask you, could you do that? If God told you today to move right now to a faraway country you've never been before, it took something to follow God at that moment, didn't it? It took faith. Yes, and that's exactly what happened. Abram had that faith. Abram was nothing special. And yet Abram believed what God said. He knew who was talking. And the rest, they say, is history. Faith has been defined as this: faith doesn't always know where it's going, but it knows who's doing the leading. Maybe this will help you understand what faith looks like. Years ago, my wife Christine and I took our kids to a family trip to see their cousins out in California. Years ago, we rented a vehicle, trucked all over California. I remember parking, and I turned around in the back seat, and I looked at my kids, and I said, "Do you guys know where we're at?" They shook their heads. I said, "Are you scared?" They said, "No." I said, "Why aren't you scared?" One of them looked at me and said, "Well, you know where you're going, and you'll get us back home." That's what faith looks like. And Abram had that kind of faith in God. Oh, believe me, that is so much better than an earthly father on vacation. God always knows where we're going. God is always wise, and he's always powerful. Abram knew that God had called him to go, and so he went. He didn't need to know all the details. But really, the question is, why did God call Abram? Out of the millions of people in the world, why was Abram so special? Did Abram deserve it? Oh, you're way ahead of me. Of course he didn't. Abram was a sinner, just like us. Abram's life was empty without God. And still, did you know that Abram is still listed in the Great Hall of Faith chapter of the Bible? Hebrews chapter 11? Scripture holds Abram up as a great man of faith. Well, this is what Hebrews chapter 11 sums up Abram's life this way. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he didn't know where he was going. Maybe you know that Abram didn't start out that way. Did you know that Abram's parents were pagans? They didn't even believe in God. And Abram had a ton of spiritual skeletons in his closet. Abram made a lot of mistakes. Scripture doesn't hide the fact how Abram lied and tried to pass off his sister as his wife to save his own skin several times. The Bible doesn't try to hide how Abram had a child with his servant girl Hagar. There were times when Abram seemed to have everything going for him when he wasn't following God. He had family, he had a great life, he had everything. So it seemed. But after reviewing his life, Scripture says that without God, it was empty, spiritually empty. Has our world figured that out yet? The real question, have you and I figured it out? Our lives are equally spiritually empty without Christ. The devil is constantly on the prowl, trying us to get us to believe everyone but God. The devil's the one who's trying to say, "Hey, I read it on the internet, right? So it must be true." Oh, believe that. Don't believe Scripture. Yes, the devil tries to con us into believing our own imperfect reason. That's more wrong than it's right compared to following what the Bible says, which is always right as it guides our lives. The devil tries to get us to trust our own imperfect emotions. that go up and down depending on the time of the day, compared to the wisdom of God in the Bible that never changes. My friends, each one of us has spiritual skeletons in our closet. Each one of us has done something, thought something, said something that we really would prefer not everybody else knowing about. That's why the words of Ezekiel strike us right between the eyes when the Bible says the soul who sins is the one who will die. You and I know where all this is headed. Each one of us is headed to the grave. But not only that, each one of us deserves to be separated from God in time and in eternity. And that fact should wake every single one of us up right now. You and I are no better than our ancestors. But just like God found and filled Abram, God finds and fills us too. It's all part of a picture of God's picture of a full life. God didn't fill Abram's heart with unrealistic commands and demands. He actually filled him with promises, 7 promises. Listen again to our reading. God said, I will make you into a great nation and I will bless you. I will make your name great and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. Did you count how many blessings God gave Abram there? There were actually 6. 6 blessings taken on their own would be amazing. God promised this would happen in Abram's life, and it did. To sum those 6 promises up, it's almost like this. God promised that Abram would be a great nation, even though at the time that God said that, Abram was 75 years old, didn't have 1 child. God said, I'm going to make your name great. Everybody's going to know who you are. We know Abram today. And finally, Abram, everybody who treats you right is going to be blessed. But don't forget the most important promise, the 7th one. The 7th promise is key because it explains all the rest. God promised Abram, all the peoples of the earth will be blessed through you. That promise explains why Abram could have a full life. The Savior of the world would be born from his family tree. Abram had faith in all those promises, including the 7th one. That 7th promise, the promise of a Savior, brought Abram a peace of knowing everything was going to be fine, even though sometimes his world was blowing apart. He knew that he had God's protection, provision, and a peace that was out of this world. That promise actually led Abram to follow God closer. He responded in faith by building an altar to the Lord and calling on the name of the Lord. Abram knew that he had something special with God and that he needed to stay close to the Lord. And that led Abram to rededicate his life to the one who loved him. You know, God is still keeping that last promise to us today. We are blessed because God kept his promise to send a descendant of Abram into the world. You know, we actually have it better than Abram in this way. Abram had no idea who that descendant would be. We do. That descendant was named Jesus Christ, God's Son, who is sent in the world to save us from our sins. Yes, not just from our temporary problems, not just from our taxes, not from our troubles here in this world, but our sins that separated us from God. And this Lenten season focuses us on God's suffering servant. In living color, we see the picture about how Jesus willingly stepped in our place, how he was willing to die a painful death instead of us and rise again in glorious resurrection. Yes, because you and I have faith in Jesus, our lives, we have it made. We have it made in life because Jesus supplies us with his all-sufficient strength to help you and me face every single trouble. And we have it made in death because we know when we close our eyes in death, The faith that God gives us in our baptisms will transfer us from this imperfect world to the imperfect world of heaven, our forever home. That's all part of the picture of a full life. Doesn't that lead us to do something? Doesn't that lead us to respond, to say thank you to God, not just on a Sunday morning, but when we leave these church doors? Doesn't it leave like Abram to say, hey God, I'm gonna follow you closer? Well, for me, the life of Abram, and to sum up our lives, can be most summed up by the poem of the weaver. Have you ever heard that poem before? It goes like this. My life is but a weaving between my Lord and me. I cannot choose the colors he works so steadily. Ofttimes he weaves sorrow, and I in foolish pride forgets he sees the upper and I the underside. Not till the loom is silent and the shuttle ceases to fly shall God unroll the canvas and explain the reason why. God has a plan for each one of our lives, and it's a full life that God has prepared for us. Oh, it's true. There are times in our lives we can't see why God does what he does. God doesn't ask us to understand. He asks us to believe. And like Abram, totally worth it. That's why we walk by faith and not by sight. Jesus has promised us that he has come that we may have life and have it to the full. Jesus wasn't just talking about being with us in this life. He talks about the life to come. And with Jesus doing the leading every single day, we've got it made for time and for eternity. That's a full life. That's a pretty picture. And by God's grace, you have it too. Amen. For our stewardship thought, we think about how God has made us managers of our time, talents, and treasures. If you brought an offering to the Lord's house today, thank you. Please deposit it in the boxes as you leave church. Bring it to the church office a little later this week, or please give online. Thank you for supporting the gospel ministry that we get to do here every day. But for our stewardship thought, I'd ask that you pick up these brand new pew editions of our church photo album. They're in the end of your pew. Could you pick one up right now? These just came in late yesterday. These are brand new. Over 500 of our members are included in here. If you have it in your hands, could you please hold it up? Okay? This is the pew edition of our photo album. It stays here in the sanctuary. I say that because it's going to be very easy for these to walk away. Please keep them right here, and please use them and get to know our members. We also wanted to let you know, starting next weekend, we're going to be handing out fuller size copies of this church photo album. They're going to be in the fireside room. Anyone who had their picture taken earlier this fall or submitted a picture gets a free copy. Please pick yours up starting next week in the fireside room. But what I want you to do is just open this, if you have it in front of you. As you take a look at the names and the faces, I like how small they are. They make us look a little thinner, a little younger. I like that. But as you look at that, every single one of these people are gifted. They're gifted with Christian faith, but they're also God's gifted people to use their time, talents, and treasures. If you're not included in the directory, we ask that you please submit a picture digitally to our church office with your email address, and we'd love to be able to share a copy with you too. The point is, we're family. We're God's family who serve together and share Christ together. We pray. Dear Jesus, thank you for bringing us at this time in the history of the world to St. Paul's. Thank you for gifting us with faith. And now, Lord, help us, like Abram, put that faith into practice every single day, to trust you and to serve you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.